Welcome to the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm Phil Taylor, your host. And we need to talk today about conditions in Rwanda, a topic we often take up. And we're going to speak to somebody who knows whereof they speak on the matter, Ruhumuza Banyamutwa. He is the chief editor of Jambo News, jambonews.net. Ruhumuza, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Phil, for welcoming me. I'm happy being with you tonight.
As a journalist, you have must have particularly strong feelings about an issue which is you're raising in Jambo News, and I see it's also mentioned, taken up in RwandaLivesMatter.site, and that is the situation of a Rwandan journalist, Dudene Yensenga, also known, I believe, as Hassan Dudene. Tell us about what is his situation. I understood he was arrested, was it last March, and then released, but now he's back in a problem. Can you give us a background, if you would?
Yeah, we have a lot of concern about the situation of journalists in Rwanda in general. And here we are going to start with Dudene Yensenga, who is the last one being jailed for reasons that are really absurd. I'm using the word used by Reporters Without Borders. What happened to him is that, as you know, in Rwanda, there is no more free journalism in Rwanda, or the writing media in Rwanda or the television, or are in the hands of the state. And what happened during the last year is that we saw a development of a new kind of journalist, is the journalist through the YouTube channel, because the government cannot control YouTube. So there are a lot of traditional journalists, such as Dudene Yensenga, who turned themselves to go publishing through YouTube their reports. And last year during the lockdown, there have been a lot of different kind of issue concerning the situation in Rwanda that has been covered by a lot of journalists. And in April 2020, there are a lot of journalists who has been arrested. Among them was Dudene Yensenga. And we believe that officially he was arrested because he was not complying to the lockdown measure. But this is not a reason to jail someone during the, 11 months. We believe that the two reasons he was arrested was, first, the fact that he said that he went at the burial of Kizito Mihigo, the singer who has been killed last year. I don't know if maybe the one who are listening to us know the case of Kizito Mihigo. And the government of Rwanda was pretending that he committed suicide while in detention. And Dudene Yensenga said that he saw his body and he saw some injuries on the face of Kizito Mihigo. That was one of the first things. And the second thing is that he covered cases of looting and rapes committed by Rwandan soldiers in Kigali during the lockdown. And so he believed that's the reason why he was arrested. So he was charged with the charges of forgery, and the fact of using the name, saying that he was a journalist was why he was not a journalist. And he did 11 months in detention, and he was first acquitted of all the charges against him. So he went back to freedom. And during 8 months, he kept doing his work. And what we think is that by jailing him the first time, the government of Rwanda was thinking that he was going to stop, he was going to be afraid of keeping doing the good job he's doing, because he go to see especially the condition of the poor people in Rwanda, those who are disadvantaged, and he gave him his micro. So he's a kind of the voice of the voiceless, those who have nowhere to speak, and he interviewed them. And then because he continues his job, he was the prosecutor appealed his sentence, appealed his acquittal, and to the general surprise, in appeal, he was condemned to 7 years of jail. 7 years of jails, what is a kind of crazy. And there have been there have been another charge that appeared suddenly in appeal. It was the charge of humiliating public officials. And what is crazy is that this is a charge, this is a crime that which does not longer exist in Rwanda since 2019. And is the prosecutor...
They prosecuted him for a crime that no longer exists?
Exactly, yeah, exactly. That no longer exists since 2019, yeah. And yeah, but what is funny is that this is not even the public who said that. It's the prosecutor who said that they're going to go in appeal against the sentence just to correct a mistake that have happened during the trial because he was condemned for a crime that does not no longer exist in Rwanda.
It's really remarkable that they could do be so inept. They seem to play fast and loose with law. You would think, by the way, that if they said, well, we shouldn't have prosecuted him, we throw the whole case out, right?
We
won't find a new way to put him in custody. By the way, he's not alone, is he? There was a co-worker, Fidele, someone, I'm sorry, I don't know his name, but others who worked with him have also been prosecuted, right?
The other one he was acquitted, so he's no longer in jail. He has been acquitted there, but there are a lot news from last week. There is a case of his father along with his driver and two journalists. They went to the prison because his father wanted to give him a book. He wanted to give him toothbrush and some clothes. And they all have been arrested. Four of them have been arrested by the prison guards. They have been jailed during 2 days. But yesterday we learned that today we learned that they have been freed after 2 days of incarceration. So even his father has been detained during 2 days. Yeah.
By the way, isn't it almost the essence of the case, the false charge? That is, that he humiliated officials. And so even though there's not a law any longer, they still, those officials whose feelings are injured, they go ahead and prosecute you anyway.
Yeah, of course, yeah. But I think what the reason why they do such kind of mistake, I think we can find it in a sentence that was pronounced by President Paul Kagame. He once said that in Rwanda, he said, we don't follow law, we follow choices. So I think that what happened in those kind of cases is that there are some journalists who are doing some great work, but the government doesn't want them to do them anymore. They haven't committed any crime, but the prosecutor and the judges have the obligation. We told them, okay, you have to put that man in jail. And so they have to try to find everything that they can to try to find any charges that can be that can make credible their case. And I think it's because of this kind of obligation they have that make them such kind of ridiculous mistakes.
So what is where is he now? What's his status?
For the moment, he's still in jail. So we had some kind of concern about his physical integrity, because what happened is that after his arrest, he had programmed through his YouTube channels to continue publishing some kind of work he did. So even after he was arrested, we continue seeing some emission on YouTube. Okay, the Denis Oyesinga has published another report about the Rwandan situation. He has published another interview. And I think the authorities were really, really upset about that, because the reason to jail him was to make him silent. And so they wanted him to stop, first to stop publishing. And second, they wanted to delete all the video he had put on YouTube. Mm-hmm. So they brought him to the Rwanda Investigation Bureau to ask him to delete his YouTube channel, which he refused. And he said that he couldn't do so, because to get access to his YouTube channel, he needed to go on his own computer, and he did it with even his phone, because, you know, like for YouTube, you can do the double authentication process.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so far, yeah, he's under pressure to delete some content of his YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Ruhumuza Bonyamutwa, pardon me, chief editor of jumbonews.net. And of course, the topic is Dudene Yonsenga, who is currently still in jail. I notice, by the way, people can view his work, right? I think at Jumbo News, you've made it links available people so that they can see the work, right?
Yeah, there are, of course, because he was doing a lot of work. I think during the last 2 years, he must have published hundreds of videos, which are like hours of reports. This is really hard to translate everything, but we have tried from some of the biggest reports, like for instance, the one about the rapes that had been committed in the Banyahe neighborhood. This is a neighborhood the authority wanted the inhabitants to live. We translated it in English. Yeah.
He's a very impressive. I looked at it. I don't understand language, but you know, he's the camera work and all that. It makes it very clear. And he seemed very creative. He visited homeless people, people in lockdown conditions who are having trouble surviving, it's striking work. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think that is one of the reasons that a lot of Rwandans did really appreciate him, because he's not here to say his opinion. So when he hear about a case that with injustice, he go on the ground and he interview the victim of that injustice. And this is hard, I think, for the authorities to say, for instance, if you report a case, they are going from, for instance, to say you are lying, you don't have good facts. But when you go to the ground and to interview the victim, it is very, very, very hard to counter him. And I think that's why I think that the only solution was to jail him.
It's very hard to argue with pictures and photos and videos and people being talked to. They are very real. I liked seeing them and, of course, getting us to see a side to Rwanda that is not reported, because most of the Western journalists are committed to the idea that they have to promote the maximum leader, Paul Kagame, as some kind of duty, and they're never to say anything negative. For Rwandans, the reality is quite different, of course. I want to ask you let's talk about how safe he is, because I noticed he did send a message saying, if I'm going back into prison and going back twice, often you don't come out. So pray for me. I mean, tell us why that's a real danger.
It's a real danger in Rwanda, because I think the way the government works is kind, sorry for the comparison, but I think it's like a kind of mafia, you know? And I think when you do what they call a mistake, is talking against them or saying things they don't want, they can, from time to time, they can kill you straight. But most of the time, when it's not what you did, it's not so big for them, they warn you. And when you do it again for them, the only solution is to kill you. I can give you some example to make my point clear. For instance, Kizito Mihigo in 2014, he sung a song talking about saying that it was necessary to recognize all the victims, including the victim of the RPF, which is the party in power. And what they did is that he disappeared within 2 weeks. And he even suffered some kind of tortures, and he was jailed during 4 years. And then after 4 years of jail, he was pardoned by the president and he was freed again. But we told him, if you start again doing those kind of things, we are going to kill you. And because after being free, he didn't start praising or doing what they were expecting from him. The next time they cocked him, he was killed. And you know that they said he committed a suicide in detention. And it's not the only one. I can give you the case. There is Vena Abayisenga, for instance. He's one of the members of the party of Victoire Ingabire. He was being jailed during 4 or 5 years. He's the one he said about the tortures he has been through. And he was acquitted in January 2020. And so he was free during 5 months. But as soon as he was free, he went on YouTube and he said, okay, I was a fairly jailed, and I'm not going to stop my fight for a democratic Rwanda. I believe that what Aziz was fair, and I don't want to take any weapon. I'm just expressing my views. I'm just dreaming about a better Rwanda for everyone. So I'm not going to stop my political fight. And what happened is that in June 2020, he just disappeared. And it's been more than 1 year. We don't know what happened to him. And it's the case of a lot of people in Rwanda. When you go in jail for the second time, most of the time you disappear, you are killed. And that's why Dieudonné Nyusinga was very, very, very concerned about that.
Yeah, that really underlines why people should go to RwandaLivesMatter.site and, of course, to JumboNews.net. Because, without light, when the danger grows, if there's no coverage, if there's no attention, if the name Dieudonné Nyusinga is not known, it's rather easy to kill him, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I think one of the way we can protect him is talking about him, because I was speaking to someone in Rwanda yesterday, and he was telling me that sometimes, even when people disappear, what they do is that they don't kill them straight. They keep them in the safe houses. And when they see that no one talks about them anymore, that you forget them, they can kill them. So I think the best way to protect Dieudonné Nyusinga is to talk about him, to keep talking about his case. I think this is also what the family of Paul Lucas Sabagina, for instance, is doing. And if you allow me just to finish the previous point, I would just like to add another thing about the fact that you don't go twice in jail. I would like to refer the people to one of Kagame's speech that he did in November 2019. The speech is in English. So Kagame was explaining that there are some people who have been in jail, and we forgive them, saying that they have been freed, and they start doing those kind of things again and again, criticizing the democracy in Rwanda. And he say, we are warning them, we are going to raise the cost, they have to pay. We will put them where they belong. So what I'm saying is not even just a contestation, but it's also the words of the president. I will send you the link to the speech. It's in English.
Yes, from his own mouth, he said it. Yes. I mean, by the way, he has a reputation for threatening. I mean, I remember with the death of the opposition leader in South Africa, he practically laughed and joked and said, "You can't hide from us." And then, and then denied that he'd murdered the person. It's a macabre to watch him.
Yeah, of course, it was crazy. So the guy has been killed. They were denying that they didn't do that. And then he came to brag about it, saying that when you betray Rwanda, you have to bear the consequences. So he was a kind of admitting, and it's not the first time. I can also refer to the case of Seth Sendashonga, who has been killed in Nairobi in Kenya in 1996. And it's only in 2019 that Paul Kagame admitted that he killed him. He said that he crossed the red line. We had the information that he crossed the red line. This is something he used to tell us to Rwanda. He's constantly telling us that, be aware, you can criticize me as long as you want, but if you cross the red line, then we are going to kill you. And this is the problem, is that we don't know what is the red line. We don't know that, you know, so.
He has been enabled somewhat by powerful states, has he not? I mean, the fact that he can exercise what they call extraterritoriality, going into other states and killing Rwandans or people he chooses to kill, he has a kind of license. I guess I want to mention that he was recently at the G20, standing wearing a suit and amongst the G20 people. Not that they're angels, but it's very curious that he has that status when people like Sendashonga are killed, Rusesabagina is kidnapped and illegally brought there, and everyone knows Mr. Rusesabagina. However, there is President Kagame at the G20.
Yeah, this is something that is really crazy, because I think last year you are talking about the people killed outside the country. There have been the report of Freedom House about the cross-border transnational repression. And I think Rwanda, a tiny country in Africa, is one of the countries just behind China or Russia that do the most of repression outside the country. I think even in Belgium, even in Canada, there are a lot of Rwanda who are living in fear. They have, they're living in fear because of that. And
we have an individual here, David Himbara, who was once a very intimate aide to economic advisor to Paul Kagame, who tells very chilling eyewitness stories of what he saw in the conduct of the president. He was told by Canadian authorities that his life was in danger. And yet we can't get the story of Dudonné Yensenga into the media.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, it's something crazy. It's not only in Canada. In England also, you heard about the cases of some Rwanda that have been warned of about that. There are a lot of cases in different countries. And what is crazy is that, yeah, he's still being invited at the G20 summit or other summits, even if we are saying that there is the narrative about Rwanda is a little bit changing in United States or in Britain. I think in France it is something else, but the United States, they are changing the narrative. They are being more critics about him.
It's a rather cynical exercise, isn't it? Because at one point, France was his bête noire. He hated France, Kagame did. And now with Macron, there's a kind of relationship developing. And it's as though the Americans have passed him on to France and said, you be his best friend.
Yeah.
It's a curious thing to watch because they both know, and we all know, the public, which is much more important, can see who he is and how he conducts himself. I should stop and ask you about that phenomenon. What is going on there? Samantha Powers, who is one of the promoters of Paul Kagame, helped create him through her books. Now she says, well, I'm not so sure he's doing what he ought to be doing. And France, though, is beginning to become absolutely warm toward Kagame, who is very anti-French. And when I say French, I mean the French language. He instituted English as the official language of Rwanda, did he not?
Yeah.
So what kind of a comedy are we watching?
Yeah, this is crazy. And I think you used the word for saying that this is cynical. And I think as a young Belgian, but originally from Rwanda, here in Occident, in the West, I keep hearing the speeches about democracy, about human rights. I saw that in France, we say that it's the country of the human rights. The United States are presented as the country of the democracy. And what I just saw with the game U.S. and France are playing with Rwanda is that it's all political, and it's very, very sad. And it's like you wake up and you see that the world you were believing that was respecting the rights to every citizen in the world to live, it's not the case. It's only maybe for the citizen in the United States, for the citizen in France, but we don't care about the right to Rwandans to live. And they just look about the political interest. When the US has the political interest to be with Rwanda, so they were not talking about those kind of human rights violation, and France was talking about them. And no, because France wants to be close to Rwanda, I think it's probably to use the Rwanda army in different missions. They don't want to send French troops, and no, they stop criticizing, talking about
there
it.
There is a mercenary aspect to his regime, is there not? His soldiers get moved around. And certainly his soldiers are to this day, in Congo.
They are in Congo, they are in Mozambique, they are in Central Africa, they are in a lot of countries in Africa, and especially in a lot of countries where France has interest. And I think it's the new kind. I don't know if you can talk about neocolonialism, but I think it's easier because they don't want to send French troops. They need some soldiers who are disciplined. And I think the Rwandan troops are the best for exporting the war because they have been fighting since a lot of years, yeah. And they in Congo, very well, of course.
They're probably the best equipped, are they not? The West has seen to it that they have the most advanced weapons.
Yeah, of course. And when you see like a tiny country as Rwanda, which is like 80 times smaller than Congo, they went and they took Congo. And the chief of staff of Congo was James Kabarebe, who was later chief of staff in Rwanda, who was minister of defense in Rwanda. So it's not a secret that Rwanda, the Rwandan troops could take the power in Congo, and they can do, I think, in almost any country they want because they have the support of the West.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking to Ruhumuza Banyamutwa, chief editor of JamboNews.net. And a site, by the way, we really urge people to go to is RwandanLivesMatter.site. And of course, our main topic is Dudane Yonsenga. Organizations that try to protect journalists. I'm only aware, I think, through JamboNews.net that there has been an organization speak out of journalists, but I didn't notice any others. Is his case being taken up at all by those organizations that claim to care about the rights of journalists?
International organization?
Yes.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of organizations. There is the first one is Reporters Without Borders. They did a great communique about the case of Dieudonné Niyosenga. I think to use the words they used were quite harsh against the case. They were talking about an absurd sentence. Donc, this is quite a strong statement they made about the case of Dieudonné Niyosenga. There is the International Committee for Protection of Journalists. I think there are a lot of organizations that are foreign. Yeah, of course. And so we are glad about that. But what is funny is that in Rwanda there are also some organs that are supposed to be speaking for the journalists, and they are the one who condemn him. For instance, when he was accused of not being a journalist, he had a journalist card. And this is the organ that is supposed to protect the journalist that was saying, oh, he's not a journalist. So this is crazy. So yeah.
They attacked him.
They attacked him. At the moment he need them the most, they attack him. And I can give you another example. We can show how they work in Rwanda. Is that in Rwanda, it's very surprising, but we have a Human Rights Commission. We never hear about the Human Rights Commission. We never hear about them when there are some cases. But the last time we heard about it is when Human Rights Watch went to document a lot of cases where the soldier have killed citizens. And the Human Rights Commission, they went out to criticize the Human Rights Watch work. So this is something crazy because they're supposed to be working with them, but they're the one they send. And this is something very crazy and funny, I think.
That is very bizarre. I'm sure glad that JamboNews.net is following this. I don't know of a better journal to keep track than Rwandan Lives Matter.site. We've been speaking to Ruhumuza Banyamutwa, chief editor of JamboNews.net. We thank you very much. It's been very informative. We're going to stay on the case. And hopefully we can free Hassan Dieudonné.
Thank you very much to free Hassan Dieudonné and many, many, many other journalists. Let me just say the name of Theonest Ndjimana, who has been jailed in October. He was doing the same kind of as Dieudonné, and a lot of YouTubers who were talking, just saying their opinion on YouTube. There are a lot of cases that we need to talk for.
Well, we're going to keep following it, and we hope to speak to you again soon. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you very much, Phil. Yeah.
Okay, bye-bye. Oh, bye-bye. This is CIUT, the Taylor Report, and we'll be back.